Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi?
Sci-Fi.
Yes, Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi, Sci-Fi. A podcast in which three men who are mysteriously our exact replicas talk about science fiction and fantastical audiobooks.
Replicas of pineapples?
There are no pineapples in this book.
I thought there were at least two.
Any case, today we are discussing Pilot X by Tom Merritt. From the back of the book, what would happen if a time traveler lived in a world where time could not easily be changed? And if it was changed, it might destroy everything but himself. Pilot X just wants to fly a time ship, specifically the Verity. But the Guardians of Elenda, rulers of his people, throw him in the middle of a time war. When he makes peace, they don't seem pleased. In fact, his own people treat him like the enemy. All right. Well,
sounds awesome.
Sounds awesome. Before I ask what people think, let me just say two words. Doctor Who.
But it doesn't say that on the back of the book.
Yes. Kevin, what did you think?
I actually liked it. I say it took me a bit to get there because I think the middle of the book, I was a bit confused about what was going on. And as often happens with books, when I go back to reread it, the first paragraph kind of explains everything and makes it make more sense. And so somehow, like,
maybe you need to read the first paragraph twice.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. You haven't constructed an internal model of the book yet.
It requires time travel.
Sure.
So I did like it, not just because I like Doctor Who, but I liked it a lot more because I like Doctor Who. And it seems like it was a nice homage to Doctor Who and the 50th anniversary episode and some other stuff. So in a sense, this book will spoil some of that for you if you haven't seen it yet for some reason.
You mean it ruined it for me already?
Yes. Because
I haven't seen it.
Barry, what did you think?
It was all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I breezed through it really quickly. It was one of those, you know, I sort of like started listening to it after recording the podcast. And I think like by the next day, it's just like, I'm done. It was only after I finished reading it that I started sort of thinking about, but that's more than just sort of an homage to Doctor Who. That really is sort of a retelling of a lot of the modern Doctor Who story in kind of this Stanislaw Lem, Pirks the Pilot sort of way.
I mean, I thought that, you know, it did feel like, well, it was better than your average fanfic, but it definitely felt like it was in the Doctor universe without actually saying those words. But I think the thing I liked about it was it kind of gave a framing device to the TV series in a sense. It was sort of like a prequel. And, you know, if you just encompass up through, I mean, not just the 50th anniversary, but it's like kind of like a big part of, like you said, New Who or whatever.
And over at the BBC, cue up the lawyers.
The lawyers at the BBC are very busy with other things.
Yes. All those Blake 7 ripoffs, probably.
Another one by this guy named Kevin.
And then The Liberator. There are quite a few Blake 7 and Doctor Who crossover actors. Mm-hmm. Several pages worth, in fact.
How do they keep their universes straight?
It's confusing.
Okay. So, full disclosure. So, Tom Merritt is a co-host of Sword and Laser, which is another science fiction book review podcast. What a crazy idea.
He ripped us off in the future or in the past or something.
Exactly. And, like, does it professionally and probably better than us.
What do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? It doesn't matter.
Yes. Also, I've been on a panel with him at a science fiction convention and may well be again. So make of that what you will.
Awkward.
So what I'm saying is, hi, Tom. I liked your book.
Hi, Tom.
All right. Well, then let's engage in a form of time travel called stopping the recorder. We shall be back shortly because time travel and because we are sci-fi.
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 All right, we're back.
See, you didn't even notice we were gone because of time travel.
Time travel, that's right. Solves all problems.
Indeed.
So this book is a very, very close homage, shall we say, of Doctor Who. And when I was reading it, I was just absolutely enjoying that fact, because I was sort of like, oh, and this is this, and this is this, and this is this. I've got actually like the full character sheet. And like for a lot of the characters, it's just like Pilot X is the Doctor. Verity is the TARDIS. The Alendans are the Gallifreyans, you know. But then it started to puzzle me afterwards, because I was just like, well, how do you classify this? How does this sort of happen? And then I went online to try to get some guidance from like other reviews, and discovered
you went to the internet for advice.
Yes. It's always a bad idea. I found entire reviews that went through this and did not mention Doctor Who. It's just like, oh, this fun time travel story that Tom Merritt wrote.
Yeah. That was very puzzling for me as well.
You're like, have they not heard of Doctor Who? Were they carefully stepping around that fact or what?
Well, Doctor Who is the question that cannot be asked, you see.
Well, I guess that makes sense if his original name was X.
Exactly. I was a little bit baffled as to how that could be. I understood the whole thing a little better when I learned that this is Tom Merritt's NaNoWriMo project from 2014. In other words, he wrote this at least the first draft of this in a month. And,
right. And like you had said, I did some looking up of reviews, and, you know, it was originally published on Inkshares, which I'd never heard of before, but apparently it's kind of like a version of Kickstarter for books, a mm-hmm. publisher where if I think it says 750 people pre-order your book, then it's time to publish your book.
Sure.
So, I mean, neat idea. And so it makes sense, like you said, if it's, you know, his, you could pronounce it nano, whatever, whatever.
I believe it is pronounced nano, whatever, whatever.
The whatever it is, National Book Writing Month or something.
National Novel Writing Month, I believe. Yeah, the idea being that in, I think it's November, you sit down, grit your teeth, and actually write that novel that you've been talking about for all of these years.
You've done that already, Steve, right?
No. Every time I try it, I realize that I'm not as good a writer as I thought I was.
Well, let me pull out your drafts on your Apple II GS discs.
He's not kidding. He has them.
That's terrifying.
They're stored in my TARDIS.
Of course they are. Yes, only you have a TARDIS powered by the Apple II. So
they all are. They call it a singularity, but it's really a 6502.
Wow, we are going down weird rabbit holes right now. Barry, you look like you want to kill us all. Would you either say something or do that?
First one is fine.
Kill, kill, kill.
Okay, great.
I guess my only, I don't want to call it a complaint, suggestion. That's not the right word either, but I was thinking that if there had maybe been some clever anagrams of words or something to, you know, describe certain people, like some sort of anagram of Gallifrey, you know, much like, you know, Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It might have made me classify this book out of the genre variety and more into the Doctor Who fanfic / homage categories.
So it would have helped you classify it. I'm not entirely sure that would have helped the book.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things that I was...
Why does everything have to be about about not Barry?
There were several things where I was kind of trying to think in my head, oh, is that, like you said, is that an anagram? Is that like a, you know, a clever pun or rewording? Yeah, some of them obviously were like the dimensional war. They're like,
instead of the time war.
Yeah. And I don't know if they actually explicitly said, well, time is a dimension, but it was very close. Like,
they actually talked about that at one point. They're saying, oh, well, we are fighting a battle with this, you know, with the Progons and the Sansarians. That's basically the Daleks / Cybermen and a bunch of slugs. And time is a dimension. So I guess that's the dimensional war.
Right. And there were various, like, you know, from the very beginning, of course, anyone who's like a Doctor Who fan is like, oh, Verity is Verity Lambert, right? Well, the original producer of Doctor Who. And
to whom the book was dedicated.
Right. Which I don't remember if that was in the audio or not.
I don't think it is.
It was not.
But sure. So it's an obvious, yes, this is a Doctor Who book.
This was, you know, there was no attempt to hide this.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, it was definitely, like you said, there may be a better word, but it's some type of homage or in the wheelhouse somewhere.
Right. There are different subterms. I actually went to TV Tropes to subcategorize this. There's fanfic, which basically would be if all of the names were kept the same, you know, if it were
right.
The
it Doctor. Existed within the Doctor Who universe, right, and mentioned sort of, specific yeah. names or locations and or.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the trope of serial numbers filed off, which is quite plainly what this is.
Yeah.
And that, we have a number of names changed. Although I would say that a little bit more than, say, just the names have changed. For example, this Pilot X does not regenerate. They seem to have taken away a lot of the things that were kind of necessary just because Doctor Who is a television show. And so, you know, has a whole bunch of different writers and different actors. And so a lot of the...
And people actually age.
And yes, exactly. The sort of thing where I wouldn't say cruft. It's part of the charm of the show is all of these sort of weird eccentricities the show has picked up over the years. But it's sort of broken it down to this very spare level.
Right. And there were... like you said, there's also the Ascended fanfic, which I guess this kind of is, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's a professionally published story that evolved from fanfic, which often involves having the serial numbers filed off. So, for example, 50 Shades of Grey, not to compare this book to 50 Shades of Grey.
What?
Tell me more about this thought process.
Started out life as fanfic for... Oh, what is the Sparkle Pyres book? Twilight.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey was originally fan fiction about Edward and Bella, but it was sort of them in an alternate universe where he was like this rich guy. And so they've, you know, took away the fact that he was a vampire, basically, you know, gradually chopped away the original stuff until it just became this S&M romp.
Did he still sparkle?
I wouldn't use the term enjoy because I haven't actually read either of them. I have seen Twilight, the movie, but
I am looking forward to the end of this sentence.
But I think it would have found it more amusing if in the original fanfic version.
Well, yes. Then you can just go see the 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know.
But if they had 50 Shades of Grey as a vampire and all the ennui, it somehow would have been more amusing.
If at the end of like all of the goddamn 50 Shades whatever movies, he just turns to the camera and says in a flat voice, also, I am a vampire. Then it will all have been worth it. It will just have been a troll gag.
They should have just made that an outtake.
I don't know. Then
quite possibly.
They'll just re-release all the 50 Shades movies as director's cuts where he actually is a vampire.
Yeah, digitally superimposed fangs, that sort of thing, make him sparkle.
somehow he swerved off into a wormhole there.
Exactly. Swerved or hard right or hard left or something.
Yes, turned left.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay.
Left at Albuquerque.
Okay, so we've gone from Doctor Who to Bugs Bunny, the crossover that really needs to happen.
Bidi, 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 that's all, folks.
That's his regeneration speech.
When he regenerates into Porky Pig?
God, maybe he regenerates into the coyote.
Moving on. You can classify different types of time travel narrative as to whether or not predestination is a thing. So, for example, in Back to the Future, you can create an entire alternate reality by traveling back in time and then splitting off.
One where Biff becomes president.
Exactly. Whereas in this one, you can have a predestination paradox where you might accidentally tell yourself some piece of information from the future, and then it becomes this... you know, informational anomaly where nobody actually found it out originally and nobody ever, you told it to yourself in the past because you had been told it to yourself by yourself in the past.
Right.
And, you know, because you time traveled looped on yourself. And in predestination universes, that's one of the fun things you can do because it's a cheat code for the universe.
Well, I thought like you're saying, you know, how does it differ from Doctor Who? And in general, you know, that's not a huge thing, but, it's, you know, like when I was re-listening to the beginning of this, they had this little section that was like, kind of like the Bill and Ted's, mm-hmm. you know, oh crap, remember to go back and do this so that we can get out of the situation now. And,
right.
you know, at the beginning, You know, the book, it's, you know, says after, and I, that's one thing that, like I said, confused me, because I didn't realize the beginning was sort of what happened after the end of the book, even though it says after. I just somehow missed that one word or something, or forgot. But anyway, so, you know, he's trying to convince them that he's this, you know, not Gallifreyan. yes.
A mythical race as yes, well.
Yes, which at the time, because of the changes that happened at the end of the book, it, you know, now they're now mythical fairy tale race. And
right.
And so he sort of generates this paradox by, you know, his duplicate comes into the room after he's already there. And they're like, huh? And he says, oh, okay, now you have to let me go back in time with my ship so that I can come back and convince you. So that they don't normally do that in Doctor Who, for sure. But
right. Well, Doctor Who does this wibbly wobbly timey wimey routine where they basically have the universe be both predestined and basically the way it tends to work in Doctor Who, and also in this, is that there are fixed points in time where things can be predestined.
Right.
Or at least that cannot be changed, but you can change alternate bits of time. And
right, you things know, ripple around. So, I mean, what it kind of comes down to is whatever the writers feel like doing, they could do.
Exactly.
And over the many years of Doctor Who, they've decided, you know, hey, this is just how we'll deal with it narratively. But
right. And they actually just use the term fixed points in time. They don't even like try to right. change that in any way.
In the book, you mean?
In the book, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So in some ways, you can regard this as kind of a cleanup of Doctor Who, because, you know, like I was saying earlier, Doctor Who has a lot of stuff on top of it that has just accumulated over the years of, okay, now we've got this bunch of writers and they started this story, and then right. this other group and they started the story. And this is sort of like, well, what if the entirety of Doctor Who from start to finish was actually a single coherent story?
Right. And that's kind of what I liked about this, is it sort of, it answers in, you know, one answer anyway, to what happens at the beginning of the series. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, why does he go off and steal the time capsule and, you know, whatever.
So it's not exactly a reboot. It's a pre-boot.
Right.
It's sort of like, it's like a retcon in a sense.
It's sort of like, you know, it's in comic books, they kind of do this, you know, different takes of the same characters, like mm-hmm. the Ultimate Avengers or whatever. They've got different storylines.
Right.
They have sort of what if stories. What if this had happened differently? Whereas this is not exactly a single what if, but it's just a single retake of the entire thing.
Right. I mean, I thought it was interesting in the sense of, you know, like I said, the part that I'd have to re-listen to it and it'd probably make more sense now, but in the middle of the book, it seemed that there was a lot of, not really sight gags, but sort of the out of order thing, you know, mm-hmm. where it's sort of like, oh, sorry, you know, this is out of order. You know, I'm waiting for your alternate self to talk to them.
Right.
And so you were kind of following it along, but the plot, you know, was sort of confusing because I was thinking it was just, you know, out of order, not gags, but just, you know, things happening out of order. So I didn't quite grasp what was going on.
Yeah. Like I knew things were happening when people would address them improperly, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm not Instructor X yet.
Right. In fact, you know, well, I'll do my favorite scene now, which is, yeah, we had this messenger who was supposed to be delivering a message to Instructor X, the future version of Pilot X. And he kept on showing up too early in Pilot X's lifetime. So it's just like, oh, yes, Instructor X. No, sorry, Pilot X. Oh, excuse me. And then he just goes off.
Right.
It's sort of a Bugs Bunny cartoon kind of gag.
It's John Cleese coming in. And like,
exactly.
Are you Instructor X?
Exactly. Well, I thought that was a reasonable running gag.
It's completely plausible there's another person named X out there.
No, actually, I think that they specified that they had
it's unique completely naming. Plausible unique name. That there's another person named X out there.
It is completely implausible in this universe.
Another Lenden. It says on this, look, your key is this fixed thing. You can't change your key in the database.
Wasn't that a whole thing that, you know, it was considered really high prestige. It was like domain names. It was considered really high prestige to have single letter name because
well it said that he was born on the day that they allowed single letter names, and so that's why he just has X.
Right.
So there's 26 single character named people out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not in a Lendon. But, you know, we can say that as an analog.
Heresy.
But yeah, so this stuff is happening out of order. And that part was, you know, like I said, I had to reread it again. But as a framing where they say, okay, we've taken things from the Time War, so sort of like the new Doctor Who stuff. We've taken stuff from the 50th anniversary, very specifically things like, you know, the, what do they call it? The instant / the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they even mention like, you know, this hut that was like this, you know, on not Gallifrey, which sounded very much like that hut that was, you know, in the 50th anniversary episode, you know, where he brings the moment.
Thanks for ruining it for me.
Plus the moment has a big red button, which is also how the instant is described.
Yes. But like you said, he kind of makes it cohesive.
Right.
At least in that context where it's like, okay, he's been kind of hoodwinked this entire time. He's kind of working his way up, you know, from the bottom. He's just a regular guy. He's not like a lord, you know, a Lendon or whatever. He's not high class. And so he's like working his way up from pilot to this, to that. And, mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're kind of following him and you're thinking, okay, he's, you know, he's just kind of doing his job. He's, you know, going through to ambassador and everything and doing, you know, what he's been told to do. But, you know, oftentimes it's with, okay, now go do this, go deliver this. It turns out that they know, you know, the not Time Lords know that, he's the one who can stop it for whatever reason. And so they're sort of trying to distract him the whole time and sending him on things which actually sort of started to begin with, it seems like.
Right. It's the whole thing is a big predestination paradox. Right. And so, what else could it be?
Right. So it's kind of an interesting in the sense of if you think of this whole tale as what happens before, you know, the first episode of Doctor Who, where he's like kind of naive and he starts the Time War by accident and
whoops.
Yeah. And he thinks he's stopping it. And when he almost does, they kind of, you know, get pissed and like, of course you don't want to stop it. We, you know, they're so, you know, high and mighty that they're basically like, well, of course we're making everything safe by being, you know, the rulers of all space and time. Ha, ha, ha.
Right. So despite the fact that we're killing all of these other people by side effects, you know, it's essential that we stay in here because we're keeping in control of things.
Right. And it does sound very High Council of Gallifrey, Time Lord, you know, thing throughout the series. You know,
a little American.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're like, okay, then towards the end, he realizes, oh, I've been hoodwinked. You know, he actually uses the instant in this thing, you know, at the end of the book to essentially, you know, wipe out the Time War completely, you know, removes the Alendans and so forth from history. And then, but then it says it kind of reboots everything and he has to go kind of go through and see what's happened in the new reboot of the universe. And so, you know, it's not exactly the first episode of Doctor Who, but it kind of wraps it in a framing device that makes sense where he's like, okay, now I'm not naive and I know what's going on. And
so maybe actually the next series, they'll just sort of change all the names back and use this as the backstory.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, so this somewhat supports, I'll take a few minutes and go a bit off topic here, my personal theory as to why time travel will never be invented. It's because once you've invented time travel, there is a non-zero chance of going back and preventing the invention of time travel. And since once you invent it, there's an infinite amount of improbability, then you will eventually go back and undo the invention of time travel just by accident or something like that.
I would go back and give time travel to the dinosaurs.
Yeah, thus preventing the invention of time travel.
Well, no, they would just rampage through the future.
That does sound like an awesome video game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there was a whole movie called that, but
well, that wasn't the plot of the book, The Green Futures of Tycho, but that did kind of happen.
Okay.
one day I will inflict that upon both of you.
Yeah. Let's see. So one thing I did like was having Verity, the equivalent of the TARDIS, be an AI and able to talk. I'm pretty sure that if they'd made Doctor Who now, there'd be no way that the TARDIS wouldn't have an AI aboard.
Right. Or at least have a way to communicate verbally.
Sure. I mean, technically it's alive, yada-da, yes, right. I know. Very good Neil Gaiman episode.
That one was awesome. And then I don't know if it's been more since then that I've just noticed it. I mean, they've always made it kind of, you know, this kind of like R2-D2, but less so, kind of like a subliminal R2-D2, where every once in a while it'll like kind of, you know, make a weird rawr noise, and he'll be like, oh, yes, I know. So you don't, you know, is he talking to himself? Is he kind of getting some feedback from the TARDIS? You don't know.
Please remind me to add subliminal R2-D2 to the band name list.
We came up with it first. You can't use it.
I meant like list of names of bands, not the band name.
Yes. This could be the collaboration with Robert Rich we've been looking for.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we? Okay. Favorite scenes. I mentioned the messenger, which was a good recurring gag.
I like the pineapples.
Ah, yes.
The pineapple planet.
Well, when they finally get down to explaining why it's called the pineapple planet and why it's a gag, I thought that was pretty amusing.
Yes.
The fact that they can only have two pineapples at any given point in time, but not necessarily the same two pineapples.
Was that Mersenne, or I forget now?
No, that was the pineapple planet.
The pineapple planet. Okay, let's just call it that.
Known for its actual lack of pineapples.
Well, yes, for a while I kept thinking, oh, is this supposed to be Earth? Is this supposed to be Earth? You know, is this some hint to Earth? And they finally, you know, say, no, that's where the pineapples and coffee come from. You know, they do mention this, you know, a few times. Yes, the third planet, such and such. And
right. They mentioned basically getting pineapples from this planet that is mostly water, which I think is the only actual mention of Earth.
Well, that, but they also said something towards the end that this planet is very important to you. Why is that? Oh, that's where coffee comes from.
Right.
That's where he did have to spend, 12 years learning how to make a hut, right?
Well, I was a little confused because then it sounded like the hut was actually on Alenda.
Yeah, I was confused about that too because
it's at least somewhat implied that the secretary is Jesus Christ or something like that.
I don't know about that, but you're saying that he goes back in time and kind of is sort of like a god figure to this early.
And they say 2,000 years after that, then they'll actually be something.
So
I thought, okay, that's a gag and this is supposed to be Earth and he's supposed to be Jesus, but that didn't seem to quite fit.
Yeah, I don't know. Because at one point they definitely say his office is in prehistorical, not Gallifrey.
It's called Alenda.
Yes, Alenda. And
not
so,
Gallifrey. Much like there's no pineapples on the pineapple planet.
Yes. And his name is definitely not Rassilon. That was my sort of guess as to where he fit in, was Rassilon, the ruler of the Time Council.
It could be. I just thought because they said, you know, his role, you know, is several people have his role over history, and that's where they have Pilot X sort of become him for 4 days or whatever, or not him, but they, you know, take on that role in secret for 4 days.
He becomes Secretary
Tem. And that's a joke that I completely missed. So
yeah, what is that?
Oh, it's a pretty silly joke. They refer to him, he's the Secretary Pro Tem.
Oh.
And so they just shorten it to like as though Pro were his first name.
I see.
So he's Secretary Tem.
Yeah.
You don't use your name when you're the secretary, apparently.
I was really not getting that. And then I was like, am I mishearing that? Is it Secretary Ten? Is that some weird like reference to right. Doctor Who joke? I'm missing something here. Like,
I am the 10th Doctor.
Yeah.
Also, there's a couple of gags that in some ways work better as an audiobook because I went back when I was sort of gathering up information for this info-packed broadcast. I looked at the print book and discovered that like there's some gags at the beginning where they have people with ordinary sounding names that have very silly spellings. And it turns out that they're spelled phonetically in the book, but then in parentheses spelled with a very silly spelling.
Oh, it actually says that. I wondered that because
in the audiobook, it just sort of,
it says spelled this weird way. And I was like,
did they just do that for the audiobook?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering too.
Yeah.
I was like, is this very like Slarty Bart Fast like thing or something? Exactly. You know,
it's going to be an unfaithful, unabridged edition.
I would be totally in favor of doing that kind of little tweak to audiobooks. But then people, you know, say, oh, then it's not unabridged.
Yes.
It's been augmented.
You can mm-hmm. shovel that stuff in an appendix.
You can shovel that stuff in an appendix.
I'm kind of glad they didn't continue the spelling thing throughout the book, because it
would have gotten old after a while. Yes.
Well, another 20 minutes, I would have been, okay, I'm done.
I mean, it sort of starts out with this very kind of lighthearted Hitchhiker's Guide kind of tone, and it does get a little bit darker as time goes on.
Sure.
Which I guess kind of matches the show itself.
Right. I mean, they definitely have this stuff, which makes sense later, like the Hermit Planet, where like all this like debris is falling out of the sky for no apparent reason. And
that's very Douglas Adams.
Yes. And later on, they basically say, oh yeah, this is our dumping ground for, you know, time war debris that we want to hide. Because nobody goes there.
It's essentially like, a giant dump.
But why not just put it on an uninhabited planet? Or maybe those don't exist.
Exactly. There's so many people and stuff like that. That
exactly.
But yeah, they could have shot it into a singularity or something like that.
But then it would pop out somewhere else.
I guess that is true. I didn't think about the whole singularity thing. And, you know, I guess that stuff does happen in Doctor Who in different ways.
Well, yes. There are connections between Doctor Who and Hitchhiker's Guide, such as Douglas Adams writing for Doctor Who.
That's true.
Let's see. So the usual questions. Was there tea? Sort of. There was something that looked like tea, but it tasted like licorice and turtle meat. And thank you for putting that taste thought in my head.
Maybe turtle meat mixed with licorice does taste like tea.
Have you actually tried it?
I don't know. I can't really get turtles to eat licorice.
It takes a lot of training, years and years.
Okay. What character would you want to be, and or who would you be? I would want to be a member of the Elendon Corps because they are awesome, and like them, I refuse to travel backwards in time.
You're pretty good at that.
Yes.
It does. Elendon Corps does sound like a cool name for something.
Yes, it does.
The Elendon Corps.
No, that was actually something that I learned. I had assumed it was Corps as in C-O-R-P-S, like, you know, Marine Corps. But it's actually the Elendon Corps, C-O-R-E.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I assumed what you had initially assumed as well.
Yes.
It never even occurred to me that it might be C-O-R-P. I always assumed it was C-O-R-E.
Okay.
As opposed to C-O-R-P-S-E.
The Elendon Corps. And then they just say it with this pronounced accent for some reason. Elendon Corps.
The E is silent.
And the P. Yes. And the R. Well, some of it. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I don't know who I'd want to be in this book. I mean, there's relatively few choices.
I mean, yeah, there's Pilot X and then a bunch of people that no longer exist or have ever existed.
Right. Well, Verity. I could be Verity.
You could be Verity.
Damn it. Quickly losing choices here.
I guess it's time for me to push this red button here. I believe it's the history eraser button. Yes, it's also a crossover with Ren and Stimpy.
Do it, do it, do it, do it.
The history eraser button. Maybe something good, maybe something bad. But we'll find out next time, for we are sci-fi.
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 We're going to have our moment.
God.